Hello, this is Bill Borden, and I'm here with my wife, Dr. Connie Borden, today. We are founders of Totally Transformed Ministries, and we've been doing a series, Healing on the Inside, reviewing the foundational principles of Totally Transformed Ministries. And today we're going to do part four, and we've done parts one, two, and three previously, and they're available to go listen to at totallytransformed.org or on these podcast shows.
So glad to be with all of you. And like Bill says, if you've just tuned in for the first time anywhere where you are, talking to you in the world, and you can go to that website and listen to the first three podcasts. So this podcast will flow in the order of the first three. The last one, those of you that are regular listeners, you may remember, was on sanctification, justification, and glorification. And I bring that up again because we are used to understanding that we are spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. And so if you understand that, you've also been taught in your theology that what is justified is the spirit. You know, we ask Jesus in as our Lord and Savior, ask him to forgive us of our sins, and his spirit comes in to our spirit. So people understand in Christendom about the spirit. You out there in the that's listening to us today, you understand about the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit. And everybody understands that they have a body that is where the temple of the Holy Spirit resides, but you have a physical functioning body to be able to work and live and breathe in this physical temporal world that we're in now before we go to eternity. So when you look at yourself every day in the mirror, you're aware that you have a body, right?
Right.
But the soul is mentioned in the Bible a lot. But what I found and what the Lord's led us to do in this ministry is define the soul. And I've also found the soul is what the enemy works through to damage and to reach the heart. Even a heart that's been saved and has the Spirit of God in them can be hurt. And that's why Jesus was prophesied in Isaiah 61, 1 through 4 that we talked about in the first podcast of this series. And Luke 4, 18 and 19, that I've come to heal the brokenhearted and set at liberty those that are bound. So we have a good working definition of the spirit. We've done the theology of justification, sanctification, and glorification. We know we have a body. But when I ask you, you know, the series is called Healing on the Inside. What needs to be healed on the inside? If you have a broken leg, you know that your broken bone in your leg needs to be healed, right?
Right.
But often we don't think about, okay, I'm hurt, I'm rejected. We've defined rejection as not getting the love you need and the way you needed it from whom you needed it at the time you needed it. And there's all kinds of rejection and wounding and hurt going on that people are sexually, physically, verbally, mentally, emotionally hurt by other people that treat them badly. So when that happens, what exactly is damaged on the inside? And what are we talking about that needs to be healed on the inside? And I find with my clients and in seminars, because we have defined the soul, what makes the working up the working parts of the soul, how the enemy works through the soul, that makes it very clear, not only in spiritual warfare about what he's working against in our triune being, but about what needs to be healed. And I say often to people, you can't fix what you don't recognize. So first of all, let's establish in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image. What did he mean, our image? And it goes on to 27, Genesis 1:27. So God did that. What does it mean in our image? Well, Bill, the Godhead, we know the Godhead has three parts, right? What are the Godhead?
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Right. And we don't see necessarily all three parts, but we know they're three personalities and they're of the spirit realm, right?
Yeah.
So the Godhead is, we are created in the image of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I like to explain it like I did this when I was a fifth grade teacher, like an apple. You have one apple, but it's got three parts, the skin, the meat, and the core. So it's one entity, but it's got three parts.
Right. I'd like to read a verse here quickly that goes along with this perfectly. Hebrews 1, verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power, and after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And that goes along with all of this because he is, Jesus Christ is the exact imprint and reflection of God the Father. And so, therefore, we can be as well.
A great reflection of him.
Right.
And we don't want to just reflect him in our spirit. We want to reflect him in our soul, which we're going to continue to define in a minute, and in our body. We want our body to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. We want to take care of it. We want to be neat and dress neat, make a good presentation if we're preaching or speaking or doing a seminar. So we all want to reflect the Spirit of God and the Godhead that lives within us, right?
That's right.
And so what I'm trying to describe today is, again, if you don't give a definition to the soul, then how do you define what is damaged, what is hurt, what is broken, what needs to be fixed on the inside? And again, I think this is what is unique about our ministry, because we hear a lot of scriptures, like Psalm 42:11 says, David speaking, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" Or 3 John 2 says, "We prosper and we're in health as our soul prospers." So we know we have a soul, right? And
yep.
Can you read 1 Thessalonians 5:28 that
yeah.
names all three? Okay.
"Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ."
So I think in Christendom, there's not a question. You know, we kind of mix the soul with the spirit and the spirit with the soul, and we don't know a differential. And I think this is a strategy of the enemy, because I think he wants us to be confused what parts are the soul,
yeah. And
particularly what parts he can work through, right? So we have defined the soul as the mind, and the mind has three functions. It thinks, imagines, and remembers. If you are damaged through rejection, your mind will think lies. It will imagine lies. It will remember hurtful memories and traumas from your past because they're recorded on the limbic system of the brain. And when you're wounded and damaged on the inside, which again, that's what we're talking about. Jesus said in Isaiah 61:1-4, and then said it the first time when he got up in the temple in Luke 4:18-19 again, "I've come to heal the brokenhearted and set at liberty those that are bound." Mm-hmm. If you don't understand what working parts...
Those are life verses for us.
Exactly. And the first one's in his ministry, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't know what the working parts are of the soul that can lead to a broken heart and leave you broken on the inside, how can you ask Jesus to heal it? And that's why he's called up ministries like ours to make it clear. Like, you know, another example is the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church," right? You do a really mm-hmm. good job of that what is that? 1 Peter 3.
1 Peter 3, 7.
Yeah, says that. Okay, but if you had never gone to marriage seminars, like we've gone to several and at right. church and marriage encounter, you might not know, well, how right. do I do that?
Right.
You've read some books. Do yourself a favor. Love your wife, right? right? And yep. stuff like that. Well, I've written a book, Saved But Not Free. Right. What I mean by that, a lot of Christendom is saved and they've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but they don't realize they have a soul that, as we said in the last podcast, that is going through a lifetime process of sanctification. The soul experiences a lifetime of growth to become more and more Christ-like. Though we're completely justified as salvation, every day we choose obedience and are transformed into his image. We are more like Christ-like today if we do that, than yesterday, and not as much as tomorrow. And the soul, again, is the avenue to the heart, which Satan works through, that affects the spirit, soul, and body to be weak or strong. So if your mind, again, that thinks, imagines, and remembers, you direct your will to think, imagine, and remember about the damaging events and traumas in our life in the past, and to remember those memories, and to imagine that the rest of your life is going to be fearful and under attack, because you've had those traumas, and we don't get those out we don't have somebody that has a system like that that's in my book, Save But Not Free, to make a timeline of your hurts and traumas and rejections so we can go through steps of healing, which we're going to talk about too in a podcast or two, so that you can be healed on these damaged parts on the inside. So in every part of the soul that we define, the mind, the will, the imaginations, the emotions, and memories are in the scripture. But it makes sense that if you have, may the spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless to the coming of the Lord, that there's, and why are you cast down on my soul, and we prosper and are in health as our soul prospers? It's a good idea to know what parts are the soul, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so
if you can define it, you might be able to understand it.
There you go. And, you know, again, we hear a lot of pastors and church leaders, Christian leaders, talking about we're triune, at, like I said, after the image of God, and that we are spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. We say, oh, yeah, I understand what the spirit is. Oh, I understand what the body is. But what is the soul? Okay, so again, I think that's one of the most unique things about our ministry. When clients come in and they're hurt from trauma, rejection of all kinds, I've heard everything in the past 12 years of a way, just about, on how somebody can hurt and reject, wound, break somebody's heart. And I explain to them, well, you've got trauma recorded in the limbic system of your brain. And from that trauma, unless Jesus heals it, you're going to think, imagine, and remember those things he wants to heal. He wants to heal that made a broken heart, and some people even die of a broken heart. So just tell us, for example, give us a scripture that has mind in it, and I think the one you're going to read actually is the theme scripture that God gave us to call this ministry Totally Transformed, which we believe you can be totally transformed and justified through salvation. You'll be totally glorified when Jesus calls us up for the rapture or you die. But we also believe you can go through a total transformation,
right,
and let all your wounds and damage on the inside be healed by the Lord, because he said he would in Isaiah 61 and Luke 4, 18 and 19. But if you don't know, you just know you're hurting. We usually see the manifestation of a hurt soul, a wounded soul or a broken heart, anger, resentment, bitterness, rebellion, actions of control, actions of trying to be up on people or competition or things that make
people.
You perform,
yeah,
because we can see the woundedness being acted out in those choices of behavior and
right,
thoughts. But again, we don't ever break it down to define it. So tonight or today or whenever you're listening to this podcast, we're defining it. I want you to know that your soul, made up of these parts supported by these scriptures, need to be addressed.
That's right.
And we have methods to address it so that the mind, the imaginations, the emotions, the memories, the thinking, the will can be submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ every day in the Holy Spirit, going through a process of sanctification. And I think a lot of people are confused because they come to Jesus and they're saved. And they go, well, I'm justified. It's not by works of righteousness that I have done. It's according to his mercy. He has saved me. I'm going to heaven. Why? That's what it says in the back of my book. So why? What's wrong with me? Why is my life so bad? Why am I so defeated? Why am I depressed? Why am I anxious? Why does the enemy get the drop on me all the time?
Because your mind's not transformed.
Right, and I think we have the answer. A lot of people, it's not their fault that their mind's not transformed, or their will or imaginations or emotions or thinking. They have been damaged as children. Things happened that was not their fault. But what I tell my clients or people I minister to, it may not be your fault, but it becomes your responsibility when you get cognitive and spiritually mature enough to realize that you're acting in the flesh. You're not acting according to the spirit. And this is what I realized when we first got married. You remember well, right?
Yeah, I do.
I was very angry, wasn't
yeah,
I?
Yes.
And I reacted to you very badly.
Right.
And we came to realize, and I began to ask the Lord, what? I'm saved. I'm spirit filled. I'm graduating from a Christian university. I'm married to a Christian man. But I can't seem to control one of my emotions, which was anger. And the reason for that is because I was wounded verbally, physically, mentally, emotionally by my dad, who did not support us, who left my mother in a divorce, who became a womanizer even after being a pastor and got over into a life of sin, and they left the ministry. And then my mother died when I was 14 of cancer, and then I had to live with a dad I didn't know and didn't like. So those are all traumatic. Those are all parts of something that happened to me on the inside and damage that made me think, imagine, and remember lies sometimes. Because when you're wounded, the enemy will come in and sow a lie. The lie he sowed me was that I wasn't worthy, that I wasn't important. How did I get that lie? Because my dad was never there for me. A dad that's supposed to delight in his daughter had an idol of money and sexual strongholds, so where he wasn't there for me. He wasn't there for my mother. So I got rejected. I got hurt on the inside. I was wounded. And when I realized it was manifesting in strongholds of anger, then I realized that my life in the flesh was not being sanctified. It wasn't lining up with the life and the spirit that I read about that you're going to read in a minute in Galatians. So I began to pray about that. Lord, how did that happen? How did my mother and dad get wounded? How did I get wounded? And though I looked great on the outside, you agree, you think I look great on the outside, right?
Yep.
You were very attractive to my attracted to my body. You wouldn't have saved me. You wouldn't have married me if I hadn't have been saved, right?
Right.
And spirit filled, right?
Yeah.
But what you did not see and what I did not realize, because some of these things come out, you know, I talk to people all the time that trial or a 24/7 relationship in marriage is bringing the things from the inside to the outside. Because when you're with somebody all the time, even if you love them, iron sharpens iron, right? So when you didn't give me enough attention, not because you didn't love me, but because I was trying to look for a retroactive need from you to love me like my dad failed to love me.
Right.
And I was damaged. I was damaged in my mind, my thinking, imaginations, and memories. I was damaged in what I submitted my will to. My emotions were reactionary and angry. And I had a broken heart. You know, the heart is really part of the physical body. If you don't have a heart, you won't be alive. It's part of the soul, because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So if we put the mind in the soul, right, the mind is part of the soul, so the mind is in the heart. And of course, we give our heart and surrender it to the Spirit of God in full lordship. So the heart is part of the spirit, soul, and body, right?
Yep.
All right, so read us, what does Romans 12:2 say about the mind?
Romans 12:2 is, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes, and I think it's Romans 12:2, and to prove what the good and acceptable will of God is. So there's will right there.
Right.
All right, so Bill, how do you renew your mind? I mean, how do you do that?
I renew it every day through the scripture. I memorize, meditate on the scripture. That renews my mind. That's all I think about usually on the way to work, is the scripture and listening to it or reading it or memorizing it. It's just amazing how the word, when you do that, how it transforms your mind and renews you in your mind.
And, you know, when it says do not be conformed to the world, it's really saying do not be conformed to who? Who's in charge?
Don't be conformed to this world, which is Satan and his ways.
Right, because we're in this world, but we're not of the world,
right?
That's right,
yep.
So when we renew our mind in the truth, the word says that the word that you're meditating on and memorizing is sharper than any two-edged sword, separating the soul from
the
spirit.
Yep.
Discerning the innermost thoughts of the heart. Right there, we have a differential between the spirit and the soul. So when I was really angry, or let's just say when clients come in, let's just say it's a male client and he's wounded and he's addicted through alcohol or he's addicted through pornography, trying to placate his wounded heart because his dad rejected him or something. Well, you say, well, how does that work? Because his mind is focused on something pleasurable, though sinful. You know, if it's an affair, if it's pornography, if it's alcohol that he's addicted and he's ruining his body and drinking and getting drunk, then that is not good. So he's trying to placate that wound inside with the counterfeit offers of Satan. So the word when you meditate and think about it enough, it will actually cleanse you. Ephesians 5 says that you're supposed to wash me with the washing of the water of the word.
Right.
It's a cleanser, and it can renew your neural pathways, even if you were submitted to rejection and hurt and wounds in other times of your life. It'll actually renew your mind like ministry wants to do.
What's amazing about that scripture that you just pointed out is that the Lord, he draws the parallel between his relationship with the church and my relationship with you.
Right.
And if I'm following what his mandate and his example, then you're going to be renewed. You're going to be whole. You're going to be holy and pure and righteous, just like the church should be.
Right.
So it's amazing how he parallels that.
Yeah, and it's not that I can't read the word and memorize the scripture, but you as the head
Ephesians
of our household, yep, as the patriarchal head, you have a responsibility given by God to wash me in the washing of the word, which means that we study the word together. We talk about the word. Right. We memorize the word. We practice the word together. We go to church and hear sermons and talk about it. So that's all a washing taking place. Give me a scripture that you have there about the will.
So John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
Okay, so in that scripture, we see that we have a will. Jesus submitted his will to the Father to die on the cross and to be crucified to rise again. We're supposed to submit our will daily to Jesus through this process of sanctification, which includes addressing what's in our mind that thinks, imagines, and remembers, right? And whatever we set our will to think, imagine, and remember will affect our emotions. All right, do you have a scripture there, 2 Corinthians 10:5, about the imagination?
2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Okay, and then we have, you look up the scripture about memory. You have one about the memories. And, of course, emotions are always easy to talk about because Galatians 5 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Those are all emotions. The more we're healed on the inside, the more whole we are, the more time we spend in the Word, the more time we spend in prayer, we become more Christ-like, and we set our mind, our thinking, our imaginations, our emotions, and memories to truth. And therefore, what happens is that we are transformed, and our emotions and what we think and believe and feel follow. Do you have, this is on memories.
Isaiah 43:18 says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old.
Okay, so if you're not remembering the former things, that's talking about your memories. For then it goes on to say there, paraphrase, for I am doing a new thing. So when you're saved and then you're healed of your traumas, your thinking, your imaginations, your memories, your will is set to truth in the word, and you can then have your emotions follow, then you're not going to have a broken heart. And the Lord's given us a system to do that. Again, if you would like to have a way to renew your mind, go to totallytransformed.org. And you can get the resource, 5 R's to Victory to Your Thought Life. You have to recognize your wrong thoughts. You have to resist the devil who's trying to lie to you all the time. He's the father of lies. Rebuke appropriate spirits like depression, anxiety, fear. Recite what God's word says. And that's what we're saying about Romans 12:2, to be transformed. And rejoice. If you do those 5 things and you learn those with each starting by an R, because that's alliteration to help you remember, it's called alliteration in English grammar, and you go through that when the enemy attacks your mind, because there's 3 people talking to you all the time, Satan, the Godhead, and yourself. If you agree with Satan, obviously you're going to be thinking, remembering, and imagining the wrong things. But many people today, because of the breakdown of the home, church, and school, are damaged on the inside. They need healing on the inside. And what we want to leave our listening audience with today is that the damage is usually to your mind that thinks, imagines, and remembers. It tempts you, Satan tempts you to set your will, to think and imagine and remember what someone said about you, a lie or a trauma or something bad that happened to you. This affects your emotions and can be a segue to break your heart. So this ministry stands for those wounded people because they haven't had the right confidence. They haven't had the right example of Christ-likeness from their parents and relatives and sometimes their teachers. And they go through their whole life believing lies about themselves. We have a lie chart that we'll talk about in the next podcast or two that you can fill out to help you think about what you're thinking about. You know, I just want to give you this one last example before you pray. You can be driving down the street for a long time and be thinking. You can be remembering. You can be imagining things. Sometimes, I mean, you can think, imagine, and remember good things. That's what the Bible says. Whatsoever things are good, honest, and true, think on these things. But we can also be thinking, imagining, and remembering bad things. And the sad part is that the mind has the capability to just keep racing and going and going. You know, one of our pastors that we had in the past said, don't curse it, nurse it, or rehearse it. Don't curse it, nurse it, or rehearse it. What your thoughts? Disperse it to God, and he will what?
Reverse it.
He'll reverse it. Yep. But if you don't think about what you're thinking about, which right. is what this 5 hours to victory to your thought life exhorts right. you to do, then you can be thinking and making, as Dr. Carolyn Leaf says, really deep neural pathways. Right. So automatic thoughts go back to the wrong thinking, remembering, and imagining.
That happened to me today. I was at work, and I realized that I just paused for a few minutes to take a small break, and I realized that I was thinking about something that had been kind of bugging me for a long time. And I thought, you know what? That is totally negative. It's not of God. It's not for me. I am not that way. My thoughts are not, these thoughts are not from God. And I rebuked him and bound him in Jesus' name, and I told him to get out.
So what did you do? You just walked out today, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Yeah. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Casting down, trying
to get a stronghold on your mind, right?
Yep.
We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. So you're not being obedient to Christ if you're anxious.
You don't take those thoughts captive. And my little granddaughter said takes those thoughts and throws them, what did she say?
She puts
icky on them and throws them out the door or something like that. It's funny.
But it's interesting that those scriptures say you can take those thoughts captive. You, there's an understood you there.
Right.
You can take them captive. But if you don't do that, they'll run renegade in your mind and they'll make deep neural pathways. And psychology calls it automatic thoughts or negative schemas.
Right.
We'll come back to whatever you've thought about over and over. And some people are just inundated with guilt and shame and confusion because of what's been delivered to them when it's, again, something that Jesus wants to heal.
Well, let's close in prayer, Connie. And
and
I just want to thank the Lord for this time together. So, Lord, we just praise you that we can speak about these things that we've known for many years and want to give to other people that are listening in this podcast. Lord, we just give it all to you. We ask you to heal and touch people and that they would take this word into them.
Yes, Lord.
And they would realize this is of God,
that they've been
given authority over Satan and over the thoughts that he tries to place within their minds because of the wounds that they've lived out and the negative thoughts and patterns that they've had in their lives. We ask you, Lord, to renew people's minds and set them apart for your good work, Lord. We thank you, Lord, today that you're going to do that through this word today. In Jesus' name we pray.
You know what, Bill? I just want to say, I just heard the Holy Spirit say, that's easy for those people to say. Well, it really isn't so easy. If we had more time, we'd tell you about some of our traumas. But I heard this, someone saying, if they knew what I'd been through, there's no way I can take those thought captive or that Jesus Christ can heal that. And I'm just going to say to that brother or sister that you eat this elephant one bite at a time. You can break down those traumas in a timeline that is explained in my book, Saved But Not Free, or through these podcasts. You can do them one at a time. If you've had repetitive, heinous rejection and wounding and trauma, God can heal it as you submit that to the Lord and maybe get with a brother or sister to pray or somebody that understands healing on the inside. He can heal a lot of traumas all at once. The bottom line is there's not any pit so deep that God's not deeper still, and there's no rejection or heinous abuse so bad that God's not greater still to heal you. So don't think that. Take that thought captive in obedience to Christ and start today. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And if you've lived 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 40 years with trauma, wounding, rejection, lie-based thinking, today can be your turning point. And I'd just like to say, Bill, if they like to get my book, they can go to savebutnotfree.com. They can go to amazon.com, which gives the full picture from beginning to end of this series and read more about it. And they don't have to feel like, gee, I'd like to hear more about that, because they can read more about right. that, right? Yep. So, and they can go to totallytransformed.org and hear archived podcast where we've done some of these things and talked about them before.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, come back next time when we're going to share some more nuggets of truth that the Lord's given us over the many years that we've studied this and we've implemented it in our own lives, and we've ministered it to so many people since the early 70s, actually. So come back next time and listen to another podcast of Totally Transformed Ministries.